Hello and thank you for listening into the week on Dalal Street. I'm Santosh Nair and with me is Anuj Singhal, Managing Editor CNBC Awaaz, who will be decoding all the action and key trends in the market during the week. Anuj, pleasure to be chatting to you.
Santosh, always good to be talking to you and looking forward to another interesting one.
Well, Anuj, before we dive into the regular questions on the market, it's been a fairly active week on the FinTwit space. A lot of controversies there. First about the fake mark-to-market screenshots, allegations, counter-allegations, and then you had a lot of these furus or fake gurus going underground, also Telegram channels shutting down. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Santosh, it was high time coming. What happens is when something starts to thrive, then all of a sudden a lot of bad apples also join in. And they make the entire space look ugly. And that's why sometimes, when the cleanup happens, it's actually good. It all started with a fairly innocuous and rather ugly tweet. And after that, people started to join in. And then, you saw that, that escalated and snowballed into something more than that. And then all of a sudden, there were allegations that a lot of these MTMs were fake and all. Now, some of them are genuine as well. I myself did a show, actually, and I think that had a bit of a ripple impact as well, where I basically just put across a question that, if you can actually make so much money in markets, lakhs and crores a day, then do you really need to sell your courses for 20,000, 30,000, etc.? I mean, that's a different issue, of course, altogether. And there are people who might be, wanting to do that as well. Extra income doesn't hurt anyone. But the point was that, you can't put fake screenshots and then lure people into investing into your products. That was my limited point. And I think, and we saw SEBI's action as well on a couple of unregistered, companies. So I think, this space got cleaned up a bit. You saw over the last couple of days, a lot of these furus, as you use the term, disappeared all of a sudden. And, a lot of these screenshots which were showing 1 crore, 2 crore profit all of a sudden started to show 3 lakh, 4 lakh. So I think in that sense, fairly active week, I must say.
Coming back to the markets, Anuj, mid caps and small caps finally seem to have joined the rally so far. It was the Nifty and Sensex which was doing all the heavy lifting. So what do you read into this trend? Are we seeing some kind of a reversal in trend here as far as second line shares are concerned?
Santosh, if you remember, this is exactly what our theme was last week. That next week will belong to mid-caps and small-caps. I had done a wall link as well explaining how much underperformance mid and small-caps had done and how they are in for a catch-up. And there are reasons for that. Of course, apart from the underperformance, the fact that interest rates are showing signs of peaking and that there's a lot of money now chasing, stocks. So my sense is that we're in for a big round of rally in mid-caps and small-caps in December. The mid-cap index is still not hit all-time high. The small-cap index is still 15% away, Santosh, 15% away from its own all-time high. So I think that, and the fact that the large-cap index has now become extremely overbought and extremely overvalued. I'm not saying that the large-cap index falls a lot. Maybe it happens that the large-cap index corrects 2 or 3% or consolidates. And in between, like this week you saw, the mid-cap index was up close to 3%. I think something similar might happen. It will be interesting for you to know that from the September lows, the Nifty had gone up 10% and the mid-cap index had only gone up some 2 or 3%. The Nifty Junior had only gone up 1%. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of scope for all these stocks to catch up.
Now, the mood globally appears to have turned bullish. And India anyway had been doing quite well for some time now. So, but there's also been some concerns about whether Indian shares are now beginning to look expensive. So how does India look in the overall emerging space? In between, we are hearing some bit of money going into Chinese and Brazilian stocks as well.
I think the money has been shifting money has been allocated to China in particular because it had become very cheap and because it had shown signs of coming out of the zero COVID policy. Also, you invest in markets when everything looks just so beaten down black and blue, like it looked in China. And, when stocks started breaching even their previous 2010 lows, right? 2000s lows rather. So Brazil also, because, you know, a lot of people had become skeptics after the victory of the left government. And again, a market which had underperformed. So I think a lot of people invested in that. But I think India has got a fair share of money. I mean, yes, for a couple of days, you did see outflows. But in general, we have seen more of inflows into India. Indian market has never been cheap, Santosh. Indian market has always been expensive. That's why we keep talking about India's premium to emerging markets and how much premium it's trading at. Well, there's a reason for that. You know, because we tend to look at index as an aggregate. And India, we have a lot of stocks which like IT stocks, for example, like auto stocks, for example, which traditionally in India have been very expensive. So that's why, you know, India looks expensive always. It's just that the overvaluation has now gone up a bit. But the other way to look at it is, you know, even economists, for example, explained that India looks the best market or the best economy. It looked in 2022 and it says, looks to continue in 2023. So, you know, the better things come expensive.
So what do you think, Anuj, then could go wrong for the Indian market, if at all? Because at this point, everything seems to be picture perfect. You're seeing the tax collection figures quite robust, factory PMI at 3-month high. You even have the economist turning very bullish on India. So what, in your opinion, are some of the risks one should be mindful of?
I think, tongue-in-cheek, the last one, economist turning positive. Because, you know, we tend to do well when all these international publications write against us. 2 years ago, I think Bloomberg had written a piece about why they are giving up on India. So, though it was an opinion piece, but you've seen a big rally in India, right? But jokes aside, look, Santosh, the negatives don't come announced. They are always unknowns. Because if they're knowns, then they're not risks anymore. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know where the next unknown risk will come from. But I do accept that the market looks ripe for some kind of a shakeout. There are two ways to approach this market now, honestly speaking, if you ask me, and both can play out. We can have a sharp correction in the market because the market's extremely overbought and you never know where the next thing will hurt us. But one thing which gives me comfort that it will not happen now is because it's month of December. In month of December, you normally don't have very sharp trend changes. Okay. The other thing which can happen is this market can go through a really parabolic move. A parabola which, you know, takes Nifty straight away to 20,000. It doesn't even stop at 19,000. And that is when, you know, it really becomes too much in your face and then the market corrects. Which one will happen first? I don't know. And that's why, you know, in markets you can't preempt. So the better strategy would be to not care about when the correction would come, but perhaps stay in this if you have been for a long time.
So auto stocks were among the major underperformers this week. What has led to a change in sentiment there?
I think the fact that commodity prices have gone up, the metal prices have gone up, I think that in part maybe explains in part sector rotation, because auto stocks have had a big rally also this year. Autos enjoyed a really good run. And towards the end, you did see the sales numbers come off a bit because the base effect has started to catch up. So I think it was not just one factor. It was a combination of these factors. But overall, autos still remain in a sweet spot. At least select auto stocks, they still remain in a sweet spot, Santosh.
Well, you just mentioned about commodity prices rising. Now, we saw fairly good, saw some good action in steel and aluminium stocks as well. Initially, steel stocks were quite cool to the news of the cut in export duty. But towards the end of the week, they all picked up steam. Now, what has changed really out there? And do you think this is just a kind of a strategic rally or a tactical rally, or you think again there is a trend change here?
So I'll explain it in two parts. When the news came about the duty changes, the market had priced that in, Santosh. You know, the stocks had run up a lot. And in any case, domestic prices now are higher than export prices. So that's why that day the market actually used that as an opportunity to book profit. I think what's led to the rally after that is two factors. A, the fact that the domestic economy remains strong and construction activity is picking up a lot. People are betting big on infrastructure. When you bet big on infrastructure, you have to bet on metals. Part number one. Part number two, China has shown signs that it's willing to end its zero COVID policy after the kind of protests. And in fact, a couple of towns have already started doing that. Combination of that has led to this rally in metals. And yes, I mean, there are signs that some of these metal stocks are gaining their mojo back. And I mean, if it's the super cycle, then maybe I think these stocks will actually reclaim their highs as well. But let's wait for that.
some kind of renewed interest now seen in these new age businesses. You have brokerages turning bullish on Paytm, Delivery, PB FinTech, just to mention a few stocks. Again, is it some kind of a tactical bet because the stocks have fallen very sharply, or now that finally the market is coming to the view that, yes, there's a clear improvement on the fundamental side? Anyway, these companies have been seeing a narrowing in their losses for the last few quarters now. So what exactly is happening there?
Look, everything is good at a price. I think it all started with the, you know, some of these stocks absorbing supply beautifully. And I think Zomato was the first one where after the lock-in had ended, the supply got absorbed and you saw a big rally. I think you saw that with Delivery. You saw that with a couple of others. I think the way block deal got executed so smoothly today in PB FinTech, and PB FinTech actually ended 5% higher. You've seen how Paytm from its 52-week close has already recovered almost 17-18%. So Santosh, you know, this is also another point we had made that maybe time has come to make a small niche portfolio of some of the new age companies and just to play for a trading rally. These are not your core portfolio stocks. What you're seeing right now is a strategic rally because a lot of supply has been absorbed. And as I said, everything is good at a price. Paytm is no longer at 2100, right? It is at 500. PB FinTech IPO came at 900, it went to 1200 as well. It's at 400 odd now. So, and it's a good business as well. So, Zomato, you know, a lot of people are taking a strategic bet that this quarter might actually be one of the best quarters for them because there were two World Cups, the Cricket World Cup, which just happened, and the Football World Cup, which is going on right now. So, that's why I think a lot of people are taking bullish bets on these companies, that the way the supply is getting absorbed, that the new investors are now coming in and finding, you know, takers. So I think that's why these stocks are doing well.
Yeah, Anuj, you had some announcements for the city gas distribution companies as well, the capping of domestic gas prices. So who are the winners and losers there?
I think, Santosh, city gas distribution companies and fertilizer stocks, obviously, because see, city gas distribution anyway has been having a bit of a pass-through. But the problem for city gas was that the natural gas price hike was becoming too much to pass on. Straight pass-through was not possible, so it was hurting margins. But if it's capped, I think it's very positive for city gas companies, and you saw that in stock prices as well. In any case, these stocks have now fallen a lot. I think fertilizer perhaps is a better beneficiary because if you heard the language of Mr. Parikh as well, it was clear that you know, their focus was on fertilizer companies because beyond a point in fertilizers, you can't just keep going, you know, raising prices. So I think that was positive for them. Is it negative for upstream companies? Not too much because for difficult fields and all, there's still some flexibility. And the fact that, you know, gas is not such a large component of some of these companies. And, you know, in some way, they are being compensated by the fact that windfall tax is going away in crude. So I think that's why you saw for them it was a net neutral event.
Anuj, your take on ONGC after the cut in windfall gains tax?
I'll tell you what, with ONGC, the issue is that it's not going to be a stock which is now going to give you large moves on where the crude prices goes, because where the crude prices go rather. Because what has happened is that the government has made it very clear that they want realizations around $75. In fact, if you see the history of ONGC, ONGC does the best when the realizations are, or when the crude prices are somewhere around $65 to $75 per barrel. Because Santosh, what happens is, below 65, and obviously if Brent is 65, you have to give some discount to that on realization. Below 65, ONGC's operations get hurt, right? I mean, you're an upstream company. Obviously, if you're selling below 65, then that's not enough to even cover your capex.
Correct.
Okay, above 75, the problem with ONGC is that whatever it earns, it has to give that up either via subsidy or via these windfall taxes to the government. So, right. 65 to 75 is the Goldilocks scenario for ONGC, and it normally does very well in that. I think the one policy, if announced, can do wonders for ONGC is if government comes out one day and says that, look, we're not going to tax ONGC. We still want our due, because if crude prices go up, that's windfall for ONGC, and we still want our due. The government is the largest shareholder in ONGC, right? What the government can easily do is it can ask ONGC that whatever it earns extra, you return it via dividend. The only problem with that is that the government will have to then share that with minority shareholders. But the government's notional value of its stake in ONGC will go up 3 or 4x because ONGC will re-rate like that. And in future, the government can make up for the loss amount by doing a small OFS. So I think that is one thing which should be seriously looked at. And my sense is at some point that will be looked at. But for now, you know, ONGC, as I said, 65-75 it really is the best case scenario for ONGC.
We also saw midweek strong rally in FMCG stocks, particularly Dabur surged about 7% on Wednesday. Some of the other stocks also did pretty well. Is there again any shift in thinking as far as the market is concerned?
I think the market's basically making, see if you see Dabur, it was, its 52-week low was exactly 52 weeks ago. So in a way, it's been a big underperformer. Even Britannia operates started to move. And Britannia has a lot of urban consumption as well. I think what the market towards the end of the year is beginning to realize is that maybe rural is now improving. Rural markets are showing signs of coming through that stress. And I think that is helping. And maybe that also, you know, Santosh, what happens is at all-time high, there's a lot of sector rotation as well. So, you know, you saw banks do well, you saw IT do well. So now maybe FMCG is doing well. So a bit of sector rotation and a bit of this hope that the rural stress is now about to end.
Okay, Anuj, last question before I let you go. What are the key things that you're keeping an eye out for in the coming week?
The World Cup enters the business end. So obviously that's something that we'll keep an eye on. And next week has a lot of queues though, Santosh. Massive queues are lined up. The RBI monetary policy is there and the Gujarat election result is there. These two events have the potential to move the market big time. So that's something I'll keep an eye on.
Well, thanks for those wonderful insights, Anuj. As always, it was a pleasure chatting to you.
Thank you, Santosh. It was great interacting with you. And to all our viewers and listeners, happy weekend.
Happy weekend to you too, Anuj. And well, that's all that we have in this episode of The Week on Dalal Street. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. Have a great weekend ahead.